Okay, with your permission, ladies and gentlemen, we will proceed with the conference. And it is a great pleasure to present Marisa Marmara, the manager of the Maestral Action Group, also because she's going to talk about something which is very close to my heart. I forgot the topic. Linkages to consumers, of course. Thank you.
Thank you, Louis. Before starting with linkages to consumers, I would like first to give a brief introduction of who we are, Maestral Action Group Foundation. Maybe not all of you know who it is, or nearly no one. Maybe a couple of people over here. We are a local action group. We've been set up since 2009. We are one of three local action groups set up in Malta and Gozo to implement a new European program called LEADER. In our case, we represent 16 localities with a total population of 124,000 inhabitants. And our target groups are various. They include municipalities, SMEs, farmers, obviously, craftspersons, and other organizations and sectors. This is the territory that we represent. And what is so particular about LEADER program is that the LEADER program gives us the flexibility to adapt the funds we have in order to try and solve the problems of our territory, of the problems of the community in our territory. And before, during the other presentations, during the interventions, in the interventions that most of the people in the panel, not in the panel, on the floor have made, and we have talked about the rigidity of the European Union, of the policies that are set. And this LEADER is different, because LEADER lets us take a bottom-up approach whereby we talk to the community, we see what the problems are, and the funds that we have, then we allocate them according to the problems that there are. So that's what's so particular and innovative and so interesting about it. Now, let me go to the start of my presentation, because that was nearly the end. Okay. Okay, here it is, linkages to consumers, or better, short supply chains. It's one of the focal points of the European Commission for the new programming period for the next CAP. I would like to start with the European Commission's view on short supply chains, where Commissioner Dacian Ciolos, opening a conference in Brussels on the 28th of April, made this point on the short supply chains element. Short supply chains have too long been overlooked. Yet, available data show that already, despite the lack of recognition and support, 15% of EU farms sell more than half of their produce locally. One in two consumers regret that local products are hard to find and difficult to distinguish from other products. So here we see that the European Commission's focus on short supply chains really is there, and that is why it's going to target this topic in the next Common Agricultural Policy. By these difficulties, short supply chains is one of the priorities in the new CAP 2014 and 2020. What are the main aims? Maybe that's why the European Commission wants to give a bit more emphasis onto this topic for the next CAP. And basically, the short supply chains, or better, linkages to consumers, offer different solutions for consumers who give more value to the quality, wealth, and traditions of farm products. There are solutions for the farming sector economy. Why? Because a farmer, when dealing directly with the consumer, will be able to gain better income from the sale of its products. Solutions to wastage of food. Why again? Because since there is a direct contact between the producer and the consumer, then the producer will produce the goods that are really wanted, that are really demanded by the consumer. So there is less wastage in the chain of production. And solutions to energy waste, because by going directly to the farm, we are reducing even transport costs, reducing the utilization of fuel, etc., etc. Even if they will not become the norm or anything like it, short supply chains do create extra value added, which is much needed. We must get a better understanding of this type of marketing. We need to rediscover it. Manuela. What are the advantages of short supply chains for our islands? Short distances in Malta equals low transport costs, which means that if a farmer wants to deliver directly the product to the consumer, or vice versa, if the consumer wants to go directly on the farm to buy the products, since we have short distances, because in Malta we are actually small, not maybe to the number of inhabitants, but as a size we are very small, then obviously there will be low transport costs. Another advantage is of fresher, higher quality produce, because the farmer will be delivering or will be selling his own products directly to the consumer, and therefore there will be a diverse and complete gastronomic cover which is of a fresher quality. Better prices for consumers, because a farmer will be charging maybe a more competitive price than imported products to the consumers. He will be able to earn more, because there will not be the middle person, and the consumer will get a better price and start buying more local products instead of going always to the imported products, which are cheaper. Diversified and improved income earnings from producer, we mentioned it. Reinforcement of the importance of agriculture for a sustainable society. This reinforces the argument of Mr. Portelli when we are saying that agriculture is not only important for the economy of the for the economical situation of the farmer, because it gives him income. It is also important because it helps for the landscaping of the country, because when you have a farmer cultivating the land, taking care of the rubble walls that surround his farm and that are part of our culture, then automatically we are even giving a better picture of our landscaping, taking care of our environment and of our landscape. Increase in employment to a certain extent, because if a farmer decides to diversify his occupation, and rather than only working the land, he will also be offering rural tourism experiences on his farm. He will also be selling directly to the consumer. Then maybe there will be members of his family, like his wife, his children, who will be encouraged to continue and help their father in this business. Less wastage, as we mentioned before, there is more contact between the consumer and the producer, so only what is needed will be produced. And direct feedback from consumer to producer, the demand and supply equilibrium. The farmer will produce what the consumer needs and what the land can give him. The challenges, as any other thing, there are challenges for our islands when it comes to short supply chains. What are they? The size of our island. Although we may say that our island is not our colleague from Portugal said that we can't focus always on the size. It's true, but at the end of the day, our size is very limited, and maybe there will be insufficient supply to cater for all the demand from the consumers. However, there are solutions for this, and we will see it in the next slide. Stronger understanding of consumerism, basic needs and requirements of the market. The farmer must adapt and must learn what the market wants, what the market needs before he decides what to produce on his farm. Higher prices, therefore, which may increase consumption of important products. Short supply chains, if they result in insufficient supply, lead to higher prices? It may be yes, but maybe there is a solution to this as well. Traceability issues, that consumer before buying wants to be able to trace from where the product comes. Longer working hours for farmers, which can be solved by having people in his family helping him out, and planning permits. Maybe some of you have heard about the problems that, unfortunately, most of the farmers in Malta encounter when it comes to planning permits with MEPA issues, and we'll see what can be the solution to that as well. Possible solutions to the challenges. Well, economies of scale. I think for Malta, being successful in establishing short supply chains, it is important that due to the land fragmentation, due to the low production, that the very small farms that we have, that each farmer can produce, then it would be wise for farmers to get together and produce and deliver the products produce the products as a group of farmers instead of each one focusing on what only he can produce. They can offer sort of a basket of products if they get together. So economies of scale there can be gained in various ways. One, because they are going to plan production together. You focus on that product because your land is better. I focus on this product, etc., etc. And also when it comes to marketing. To marketing because the group of farmers can market together the products that they produce. Also when it comes, for example, to common premises. If the farmers need common premises where to store the goods, there will be also economies of scale when it comes to capital investment. Improve communication between consumer and producer through creation of networks. This it is very important so as to enable the farmer to decide better what the market needs. So in order to see what the market is demanding with regards to agricultural products, it is important that there is more communication between these two sectors. By what? By creating networks. I've done some research, and even in other countries like Italy, apart from the farmers' groups, they also establish consumers' groups, buyers' groups. Where, for example, in a specific locality, there are groups of people, residents, normal citizens like us, that get together and place bulk orders to farmers, and then these farmers deliver to the different families. So we have a buyer's group and a producer group who are collaborating with each other to try and establish these short supply chains. Draw up guidelines for local quality marks to ensure traceability and quality. It is important that there are obviously elements of control procedures, of monitoring procedures, so that one can always reassure consumers that whatever they are buying is genuine and what they think they are buying is actually that product. Educate both producers and consumers about the potential benefits of short supply chains. We've heard a lot about education as well, about educating the farmer. It is important also to educate the consumer about the genuine Maltese product, the importance of buying local products instead of imported products, and of educating also the producers of the advantages of short supply chains, of the importance of food safety, of the importance of even to educate them, for example, what they should expect from their cooperative or from their producer organization. Education is important in all aspects when it comes to, and in all sectors. And farming is surely one of these sectors that must be also educated, as well as the consumers. Improve competencies of farmers as regards business planning, logistics, sales, and marketing through training. This is very important as well, so that to give an advantage to farmers so that they can plan more where they are going instead of, you know, walking through a tunnel without knowing exactly what their final objective is. Involvement of family in farming. How can you involve the family? For example, by giving incentives. If the wife starts collaborating with the farmer to develop this short supply chain element or to develop rural tourism, why not give them an incentive? Collaboration between public authorities and other institutions. This is, I think, an important aspect when it comes to planning permit problems, because unfortunately I think that if the public authorities and certain institutions like MEPA work more together to see what the final aim or what the country's objectives are in relation to agriculture, maybe the policies can be adapted, obviously in a controlled way, in order to cater for these new objectives. Various ways to enable a shortened distribution chain. These are various ways, like direct farm sales, when the farmer sells directly to the consumer, agricultural markets, as we have nowadays, in fact, at Ta'ali every Tuesday and Saturday, which is doing quite well. Collective selling outlets, where the farmers unite and they open up an outlet or they use an outlet to sell their products directly to the consumers. Buying groups, as the example I gave before of the Italian, of the Italy. Home delivery, where the farmer delivers directly to the family or to the consumer. Local festivals. In Malta, we have a lot of festivals organized by local councils, by even other entities, by national authorities, where the opportunity may be given to farmers to sell their products directly to the consumer. Or direct farm pickup or pick up your own, where the consumer goes directly to the farm to pick up the product. This we've done, so you know who we are now. So what are we doing as a MAGF in order to cater a bit for this linkage to consumer factor? Let me see. So one of the actions that we've launched, where we have dedicated 176,000 more or less, is we opened a call for the creation of a rural tourism network for the Maestral territory. In practice, the call was open for any entity whereby this entity will be offering on-farm experiences to tourists, incoming tourists, and even local tourists. That means people from other localities. This network, when it starts functioning, will give an opportunity for the farmers to earn additional revenue, because by offering rural experiences on the farm units for the tourists and the community, they will also have the opportunity to sell their products directly to the consumer and therefore improve their direct sales from the product as well. It will help to reverse the current trends, because it will be providing new opportunities to the youths, to youth farmers who may be, for the time being, they don't see a lot of potential in this sector, but by opening up new doors for them, new opportunities, it may be that these young people may be interested to continue the work in the agricultural sector, increase the interest in the production of local products and produce, and educate about the importance of farming, and increase the appreciation of farming and rural issues, apart from obviously increasing the awareness of why agriculture is important, what a contribution it gives towards the environmental issues, etc., etc. It also is very important, I think, one of the main aims is because there will be direct communication between farmer and consumer. And therefore, the consumer will be going directly on the farm, and apart from buying the product, he will also be living the experience of how the product is cultivated, the seasonality of the products, for example. So this will open up a lot of new doors and even increase education about the agricultural sector itself. Another action which will be happening soon in December is the Culinary and Crafts Festival for the territory. This will be an opportunity for farmers also to exhibit and sell their products, and also to create synergy between the farmers and the end users, who may be even food preparers like professional chefs. There will be culinary competitions organized, for example, where the chefs will be using the local products to deliver a particular dish of the region. We are going to create also a database for putting the producers in touch with each other. And hopefully this database, these producers, will remain in touch for future events. Transnational cooperation, we have just signed even a contract with a group of Italian legs, whereby we will be offering the opportunity to operators from the region, to producers from the region, to participate in a festival in Italy where they will be networking with other producers, sharing working methodologies, sharing techniques, promoting their products, and maybe even improve their earnings from the sales of the products. This is what we do. Farmers, we can help. We can help. Our naturalists, we can help. Why? Because obviously through farming as well. We are out there promoting our local products. We meet with the community to give them information about what LEADER is. We participate in events and we animate the community about LEADER. These are our details. Thank you for your attention. The last note I wanted to make is that I think it is important that instead of always focusing on just the problems, because we've heard about problems, we are aware of the problems, we have to start and putting all our energy in trying to solve these problems, you know, to adapt our tools, the tools that we will have in the next rural development program, in order to solve the problems that there are. So if we focus our energy on solving the problems rather than just talking about them, I think maybe someday we'll get somewhere.
Thank you very much, Mar. Well said. Can I just add one point about short supply chains, and that they could also serve as a climate change mitigation measure, because obviously if we're going to use less fuel, there's less fossil fuel is being burnt. But at any rate, can I also ask you to ponder a bit on how and Malta and you know, the respective countries, we can take advantage of these new measures. Who's going to start? Perhaps somebody will explain as well in the local context, besides the farmers market, there's also some initiatives where farmers are presenting their produce directly to restaurants and hotels as well. Small numbers at this stage, but there's some experience. Thank you very much.
Well, I don't know. It's working? Yes. Direct markets and short supply chains, it's a great idea when it works. And the one of the first problems we have, it's when packaging and labeling rules together with the 852 regulation from the European market about food safety, it's mistaken by national authorities. And here we start to have a big confusion. And then what's happening in my country and probably in other countries, people doesn't know, probably too many lawyers in the cabinet don't read by the technical way, by the engineering or veterinarian way, what's written in the directive, the 852 from 2004. And what happened, it's they're closing markets. If the market sells, for direct markets will sell cheese, honey, products from animal production, everything is closed right away. Even the vegetables and others, they're very always with problems with the food authorities. Exactly at the same time, we have, especially in France and Germany, a huge raise of this type of markets. The tradition of the French markets, of weak markets, it's rising more and more. And in PACA, in the south, in the province of, how do you call PACA? The Côte d'Azur, Provence, and the other. They're investing on the markets, like the ones Marisa talked, but instead of taking the people going to the market, it's the farmer that goes where the people are. And what they're doing the markets like in the busy train stations of the in the end of the day when people going home. Which means instead of buying 1 kilo of lettuce or 1 kilo of spinach or whatever, they have ready packages like for 20 euros and people go by, drop the 20 euros and takes the bag of the vegetables and sometimes you have a cheese, eggs, even a chicken inside, well, not live chicken, inside the bag. Well, the chicken here, and we have a veterinary present, I don't think it's a very good idea, but, well, French are strange in these things. But this is the way we read the directive of the community. We're in our way, we're reading the directive, we're punishing farmers about direct selling. We have programs like the one Marisa showed us that it's investing on these programs, trying to make short the chain. And at the same time, authorities are misunderstanding the directives and are closing. I remember about wine. In Portugal, a couple years ago, we were not allowed in our cooperatives of wine to sell wine in bottles of 5 liters. Now, that's not a regulated bottle. It must be 0.75. At that same year, I was in Umbria, in Spain, visiting a lot of sellers. They had like a petrol station. Petrol station of white, petrol station of rosé, and petrol station of red. And people would come with from home with whatever they had, and that would count. Because what the directive said was the price must be by unit. And that way, it was one unit and price. They were not selling by gross. I don't know if it's the right word. That's the way we understood. In Portugal, you had to sell the wine in a bottle of 1 liter or 75. The Italians understood in another way. That way, the money the cooperative in Italy they were doing, selling directly, and fresh money entering in the first day was very important. And we're selling by bottles to big supermarket chains and getting the money 90 days, sometimes 90 days afterwards. That's the big difference. When we have the ideas, like Marisa has, we have the money for the community, and we have local, I'm not looking at him, and we have local authorities sometimes not understanding the feeling, the real philosophy of the directive. I think it's something we have to think a lot about, this question of direct selling, direct chains, to be to help, to ask for the help of the veterinaries, to explain sometimes to politicians what does that mean in the directive. Okay, I think that will be important for us, and I hope in Malta you don't do this the misunderstanding we're doing in Portugal about these local markets.
That laid the egg in the bag?
No.
Oh, no, I got it wrong. Okay.
It's
the effect of the wine we had during joking. Okay, so who's going next? Yep, thank you very much.
The list we were shown on the screen there is exactly, basically, what we've been doing for the past 4 or 5 years. So why are we encouraging this from one end and discouraging it from the other? This is my question. But probably, again, it won't be able to be answered today. Thank you. We were encouraged to set up initially. We had all the encouragement in the world. Now we've been just left to plunder on our own, basically. That's what I'm saying. So what was the point of setting up in the first place?
Okay, so perhaps you have some experience in this in Estonia?
Yes, from Estonia. Our local action group territory also has this short supply chain experience. I have introduced it before. We have this small group of producers have come together, and it works this way that every week, one day, for 1 hour only, they come together. Usually the products are ordered before, and people go there, buy their products, and then go home. And they have a website, they have created a network, they have loyal customers, or buyers group, as Marisa referred. So it's working. But one problem it has that I was thinking when I was hearing my colleagues speak and Marisa speak, with the short supply chains, who should take the initiative to start the cooperation, to bring people together, the producers, the consumers? Because first it's easy to come together, say, okay, let's do this. But as my colleague just said, there will be problems. How to handle different things, how to communicate with the municipality. In Estonia, we have a problem that very small producers and big producers have the same regulations they have to follow, same rules. And from there, some problems will rise. And if at first the group comes together voluntarily, someone says, okay, let's come together, it's obvious that one person cannot manage this all if he or she is doing it voluntarily. So my question is, who should take the initiative and who should carry out the work of leading this group or cooperation? And who should finance it? And I'm waiting for good examples because I don't have any good answers. In our area, this also works based on goodwill and volunteers who carry this all out.
And the chickens are laying eggs in the bag as well in Estonia?
No.
Okay. And I'd like also to add a point to what you said, if I may. The legislative framework. Is the EU going to legislate on this matter? Or is it a matter of national legislation? Or is it a self-regulatory setup? What do you think about this? Thank you.
From Bulgarian point of view, I can show the Bulgarian example in direct sales and short supply chains. We made a special legislation, national legislation, to regulate the direct sales from farms. And because it's these rules are interacted with the European legislation, we had to negotiate with the Commission the text of the National Act so that we are not violating any rules for equal treatment in European Union from an economic point of view. So we finally negotiated the ordinance. It's a ministerial ordinance and it's functioning now. It regulates less restrictive requirements for small, limited quantities of production sale directly from the farms. It has a special requirement in different sectors, and it's working, I think. We even made a special state aid to support the process of managing the farm in a way that the farmers can sell the products directly from the farms. So we made that step, but we made it in, let's say, 2 years ago. So we still need time. I think farmers still need time to practice it better and to extend it. So on the question, national or European legislation, I think it's both. And about the local markets, we had examples in fruit and vegetable sector. We had some local markets which are managed by the municipalities on local level where farmers can sell their products. There are two problems. One problem is that there are not many. The other problem, if they're in bigger towns or city, there are also imported products sold on this market. Because it's a bit difficult to control only farmers to sell there. So we have the example, but I think that we have to work more on local markets. But I hope that direct sales, because we see the benefit in direct sales, and I think farmers also see the benefit, because they're just shortening the chain and they can get a better price, and they can combine it with rural tourism, for example, which is also developing in Bulgaria. So we have the experience, and I hope that it will develop.
Good. Thank you very much. Okay, Marisa, before I pass you the microphone to answer, I think I'd like to ask Mr. Portelli, I believe in your field there is also this experience of short supply chains where...
Thank you. In fact, one of the main advantages of organic farming is that you can easily attract a market sector which is interested in it's called gate farming. People go on the farm, sometimes they can pick up the stuff themselves on weekends or during the day. And it is a growing market sector where farmers... you know, enjoy that interaction at the end of the day with the consumer. It's all over the world. People like meeting the person that's producing their food. Although with the supermarkets today, that feeling has been lost. But there is a renaissance of food culture. This was initially launched by Italy, who are the world leaders in where it comes to slow food or food culture today. But it's having its good spill-out effect on the rest of Europe, food culture. We have to go back to food, not to eating. Today we confuse eating with food. People like food. They eat because they have to eat. You know. And this culture is also having its good effect in Malta. Joe, for example, over there is one of our organic farmers. And people love to know where the food is coming from. We have organized events at his. We have organized lunches. We give talks about organic, about rubble wall building, you know, stargazing events at his place. So it is an opportunity that has to be explored by farmers as regards, for example, to go to organic. I can't imagine taking a group of people, a group of tourists on a conventional farm. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, please pass this way and put on your protective clothing before you come into here, because you use very high toxic products over here. So that's something you don't have to worry about when you go to an organic farm. So I've been to organic farms in Italy, in France, Belgium, you know. And I think we in Malta we're still lacking a bit behind to adopt this this thing. I would like to see more conventional farmers changing to organic farming. One issue I would like to point out is that the EU regulation stipulates that the place, the point of sale for organic farming to sell organic produce has to be certified, and this puts in limitations where you can sell organic because it requires the product to be pre-packed. And we had events organized by the ministry where we've been invited on condition that the organic produce has to be pre-packed. So why is it that conventional products, everyone can touch it and enjoy it, while organic product has to be pre-packed? You know, if the stand says this is organic food, it is organic food. And people are in love. Why do I have to buy a kilo of apples when I only need two apples? You know, and I would like the ministry to consider next time they organize an event to allow prepacked food to be sold on stands. Otherwise, he's never going to get organic sellers participating on their events. Thank you very much. Wherever you go in Europe, you can buy organic produce by weight. If the stand, there is the certification number, if there is the certification certificate, he's guaranteeing the produce is organic.
Thank you very much, Mr. Portelli. Okay. Marisa, would you like to pass some comments about what you heard so far? And then we can continue. Thank you.
About the comments of my Portuguese colleague, I would like to say that basically, maybe there should be more collaboration between the different authorities. As I said before, even us, we have a problem when it comes to implementing certain, even the leader program, for example, because we are faced with difficulties from MEPA. And maybe then we will be facing difficulties regarding food safety when we come to the implementation of short supply chains. I believe that if there is collaboration between the national authorities and even different other ministries or other institutions about where we want to go, then maybe then when we start implementing the actual actions, we may encounter less problems. My colleague in Estonia asked who should be taking care of these groups. Basically, I think that it all starts, as you said, with the group of farmers and group of buyers uniting, getting together to allow for these short supply chains. If the cooperatives, if the producers' organizations have the real interests of the farmers in mind and they guide the farmers and in a correct manner and they make sure that the improved income opportunities go to the farmer rather than elsewhere, then I guess that these organizations may help even in this sector. But obviously, there have to be regulations that these producer organizations or cooperatives abide by in order to allow for this new team or new element. I think those basically, was there someone else who made a question? No.
Fair enough. All right. Fine, thank you. Okay, I've just been informed that we're going to wrap up this conference in 10 minutes. So now we need to be brief, and I suggest that you can all pass your final comments, and I have something small to say, and then we wrap it up there. What do you think? Shall we just go around with a microphone and have a few comments? Do you agree? Yeah. Shall we start from here and go all the way around? Thank you very much. Okay, there's more than 10 of us, so it has to be a few seconds each. Just a few comments. 10 seconds.
I had the chance to participate in three of the four events within this project in three rather different countries in which we found out that the farmers' problem are very similar, and also the government saying from the government point of view, making the effort to do their best in the negotiations for the future common agricultural policy. So I'm very glad that we had this project and that we had these meetings to exchange the views, to see where are we, where are different member states, where are the farmers, what are their interests, and to exchange ideas how we can solve our similar or even some same problems. And the topics of the meetings were different and very interesting, very now today's, having in mind the situation in which we are now negotiating the new common agricultural policy. So what I can say, the pleasure was mine for being here and for participating in these meetings, and just go on. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I'm glad the Bulgarian farmers are as vociferous as the Maltese ones. Yes. They're not quite good. So, yeah. Anybody? Thank you very much.
We still have 10 seconds only. Paulus, I've been in all the sessions also myself, and I confirm that we have the same problems, especially regarding the young farmers. Regarding the sales of the direct sales, my friend from Estonia, I have a vision in front of me. As a cooperative, can farmers join together? We have an advantage that we are small. That's an advantage, not disadvantage at least. Every farmer can join together, go in each farm each Saturday or each Sunday. And all the farmers in the same farm of each one of them will sell his products. So they change always the farm by the day. And they can sell the products themselves, and nobody will be responsible for the sale of their products. And they can involve their youngsters to get through that sales instead of working the farm. At least they have a little bit of chain of the agriculture, the selling point.
I want to end with a positive note. Today, during the three session, we have heard that we all want flexibility. We all want tailor-made measures. We want to decide ourselves what is going to become of our areas. And actually, we have a perfect tool for that. We have the leader program. And this is especially for those countries where leader is just starting, just as Marisa said, 2009, the LAG was established in Bulgaria. Also, the leader groups are quite young, some of them at least, also in Estonia. Use more leader. Come to leader action groups, find ways, create your own measures. This is a good possibility.
Everyone is trying to use their last 10 seconds to their favorite cause. So I will once again advertise the second pillar measures. And I suggest you take a good hard look at how you design those measures, how those are picked, how they're designed. It has to be with as close as possible relation with the producer organizations. These measures have to be designed so that they reflect the specific needs that you have, and that's the only way to do it, and we're doing the best we can. Our next rural development plan is in designing stages right now, and we have more than 30 different organizations behind the table designing this, so we're hoping for a very good result.
Thanks. I'll just use my 10 seconds to say that it's refreshing for me to listen to this debate and having people from different member states sharing their perspectives. And I think that they're also showing us that we have many things in common and challenges in common and many solutions in common as well. I think that what my colleague has just said now is also true for us. We have a new CAP, a new set of tools to look forward to. I think everyone will be a lot more involved. Everyone is a lot more experienced this time around in the design. There is more consultation, and we perhaps understand the challenges a little better. And I think that this kind of forum and this kind of event continues to help to crystallize and clarify a little more what those challenges are and how to go about tackling them best.
Okay. Thank you for those wise words, actually. May I ask you, 852, we're talking about the regulation with milk and hygiene. Okay.
It has to do with the implementation of HACCP.
Okay. Sorry. Yeah. But that would preclude small farmers. No?
It
Okay.
And that's, I think it's okay.
Well, to finish, and I'm sorry because I probably already talked too much today, but I really like it with the colleague from Estonia said before about the specifications of each. And I'm telling you, when Portugal joined the European Union, our argument when talking about agriculture was always the specification of our agriculture. And we talked always, we're very specific. We're small, we're peripheric, we have port wine, we have mountain cheese and all that. Now when we understand that there are 27 specifications, that's exactly what our colleague said, and we understand how odd we sounded to the other partners keeping going with this speech. I think we have to take very care about when we keep saying we're specific. We have 27 specifications and we should keep together in the agriculture transversal goals for us farmers and keep saying we need to do some technological innovation. We need to provide food for the world. We need to protect farming activities, especially for the ones which are more in risk. We should preserve soil fertility, should preserve water resources, and should preserve biodiversity. And I think all the goals which are transversal could put us together, and no one is small or isolated. I think that should be one of our conclusions.
Okay, so I won't say I feel small and isolated, okay.
Well, I would like to start, first of all, by thanking the Bulgarian team for organizing this event from day one. We met about nearly a year ago now, the first time we met. It's been a great success. The scope of this meeting was discussing the CAP, Common Agricultural Policy. But most of the meetings started off discussing our uncommonality. Everyone arguing about size, everyone complaining that their winter is too long, others complaining that their winter is too short. But I think we all agreed on one thing. We have a common goal at the end of the day, producing good food for the consumers. At the end, that is most important, because no matter how much money you have, if you're hungry, you're hungry. You know. And so let's be positive. Let's look at ways to solve our problems, solve our commonalities, which is at the end, that is the whole scope behind the CAP. Thank you.
So so far we can see that as a group of small farmers, there are a lot of commonalities. But while we're discussing these, the bigger farmers are claiming more money. Huh? Let's not forget that. Anybody? Okay, thank you.
No, my ending would be very similar to Mr. Portelli's, I think. I think we all have a common goal. My plea to everyone, both local and even EU, at the EU level, is that we don't have these hiccups all the time. If we're going that way, let's keep going that way. Okay, we might adjust here and there, but you can't suddenly say, I'm sorry, you're going the wrong way, change round and go the other way. That is my message. Thank you very much. And I thank all the organizers for an excellent conference. Thank you very much.
Mr. Farrugia, thank you very much.
Well, I augur each and every one of us, especially myself, that when we meet in 2020, at least half the problems here raised here will be solved. At least half. I know why they wouldn't be solved. The same reason why they were not solved so far. And it is because those who are at the top and organize these things have never planted an onion.
This isn't really a conclusion. It's just a comment on the last presentation about the shortening supply chains. For one thing, I'd like to say the responsibility shouldn't be only put on the producers as individuals, but also on the producers' organizations and cooperatives. It's very helpful for producers who spend their whole day actually producing to have an organization which can take care of the marketing and the sale of their products. And that organization, of course, is important that they still use the money that they make in favor of their primary producers. Now, there's a lot of questions about how you can promote something like this, how you can promote short supply chains. And I'd just like to give a local example of what I felt was a real wasted opportunity. There was a call for the Rural Development Measure 123, which is adding value to agricultural products. When the call came out first in 2009, generous points were given for buying directly from the primary producer and increasing the use of fresh local products. That was a solid, real financial incentive to shorten the supply chain. When the call came out again in 2011, these points were removed. The question I would raise is, was that goal so thoroughly fulfilled that you could change to a new goal? Certainly not.
I wanted to add one thing. Unfortunately, in Malta, we don't have consumer cooperatives. I hope that one day we'll have consumer cooperatives. We had consumer cooperatives in the 1950s, post-war, because it was a need. I thought this crisis will crop up the need again and we'll have consumer co-ops. One point I want to add on a very positive, hopefully, team is if we focus more on research, what I mentioned, development, training, education, and awareness, plus knowledge creation together, not only here, but even in the future, we'll be sharing also and diffusing knowledge between us all, and we'll save a lot of energy, a lot of money, and get better results. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I think Marisa wants to say a few words as well.
I can attach to the statement of Francis. Basically, as Mr. Bucelli said before, lack of good information sometimes give rise to bad information. So I'm already happy to see that there are a lot of consultations going around, programs being held right now with us, the local action groups, even with the direct stakeholders like the farmers. It's important to consult, to inform, to train and to communicate all the time with the farmer so that we get them prepared, so that they know what the new CAP will be offering them, so that then they are prepared, they can plan, and they can benefit from the facts in the best way possible. And it will be for their sake and for the sake of agriculture as a whole.
Okay, so, wow, all for you, Mark. Okay, so the organizer says I have 1 hour now for a close. Far from it. No, I've nothing left to say. Everybody said it all. All I can say is thank you very much for being a wonderful participant or participants. I'm taking home some new views and some new aspects of the Common Agricultural Policy. I would like to order a negotiating team to try and get the best deal possible. We have strong views which I wouldn't like to bore you with them today, but there are specific fora where we can address these. And I think that there's been a lot of positive thought, a lot of a nice long wish list from everybody. And now it's up to us to try and put as much of this into practice. Thank you very much to the organizers. And the last word is with you.
Yeah, thank you. I also would like to thank everyone for your time and for your energy in this discussion. In conclusion, I would like to say that what we think could be a better way of celebrating the 50th anniversary of a policy, the common policy, than communicating it with the people, with the producers, with those who actually plant the onions. For us, it's been a great experience, as Nijana said, to meet and communicate with people from the four nations. We've been together for a couple of months now. We are almost friends now, aren't we, Paolo, Laiho, Franz, John, Marisa? And I feel, it's my feeling that this should not end here. If we manage to keep on preserve this, what we have managed to accumulate in this project, I personally will consider it a success.